This week, part one of a conversation with the most prolific climber of Mount Everest in the United States, Tausenyo Dave Hahn, as we take Luna outdoors and way up a mountain. Luna Outdoors, brought to you by New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where they have an affordable mortgage or home equity loan for you. Taos Pharmacy, the total health and wellness center of Taos, and Wanda Quintana Insurance, your good neighbor agent earning your trust for over 24 years. Tausenyo Dave Hahn is one of the most celebrated mountain climbers and guides in the world. As proof, I offer you his partial resume. 10 successful ascensions of Mount Everest, more than any non-Sherpa on the planet.
I first tried in 1991, and I believe I was 28 then. I got to the summit for the first time in 1994. I've tried Everest 14 times, and I guess I like to remind people of that because I consider myself kind of good at turning around as well, and I've turned around four times within 1,000 feet of the top.
And for good reason. Mount Everest is 29,029 feet above sea level. It's an altitude that normal humans don't function well at, with some of the most dangerous conditions on Earth.
I've certainly felt 100-mile-an-hour winds on Mount Everest, but not necessarily while I was trying to go for the summit. It doesn't have to be all that much of a wind at 28,000 feet to be unworkable. You know, it can be a 30-mile-an-hour or 40-mile-an-hour wind that is unrelenting in conditions of minus 20 Fahrenheit. You know, that doesn't allow you to feed yourself or to get water out of your pack without freezing your fingers or your face. But also, if the wind gets up that hard, if it starts to move you around or knock you off your feet on that technical or difficult ground, you know, that's obviously a little too dangerous for a place where you're not at your sharpest.
Sounds like fun, eh? Yet Dave Hahn has been up on Everest 14 times, to the top a record 10 times, and regularly guides others in the pursuit of climbing's singular achievement. You have to be comfortable with the idea of death to make this climb, and Hahn certainly felt he was close to his last breath on his first successful ascension.
That was probably one of my more hair-raising times on Everest. Long story, but I ended up on top alone in a cloud which turned into a snowstorm on the North Ridge, and I couldn't quite figure it out. I called down to base camp on my radio and talked to some of the guys that had been up there before, and they tried to kind of talk me through this section that I was having difficulty figuring out. I think the last thing I told them was, okay, well, I'll give it a try. It doesn't look real good to me. Then I did figure out this section, but by then I was in this snow cloud and they couldn't see me from base camp anymore. I didn't talk to them again until I was on the summit about an hour later. They thought that I'd fallen off the mountain after trying this move that I called them about. You know, so there was kind of this alarm in their voices when I finally called down from the summit. But it wasn't a feeling of elation or anything. It was 10 minutes to 5 in the evening, and knowing that I had a long way to get back, climbing down through the night, out of oxygen, in a snowstorm. And yeah, I was pretty lucky to come through that.
In fact, a dirty little secret about climbing Everest is just that. You're so uncomfortable once you hit the top, you're almost more excited to get down as soon as you can. Maybe you need a good luck charm with you, like the former governor of New Mexico.
And I don't think the first real celebration at the summit for me, that didn't come until 2003 when I guided Gary Johnson up there. We ended up on such a beautiful day on top at a great time in the morning, and everything was right. That was, I think, my fourth summit, and that was the first time that it really, you know, that I realized you might actually go up there to enjoy the view.
Next week, part two with Dave Hahn as we talk about what it takes to get to the top of Mount Everest.
I have seen death in the mountain.
That's Luna Outdoors for this week, brought to you by Wanda Quintana Insurance, your good neighbor agent earning your trust for over 24 years. Taos Pharmacy, the total health and wellness center of Taos, is your local disease prevention center operated by Jake and Becky Mosman. And New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, take control of your finances with a debt consolidation loan. This week, part two of our conversation with the most prolific climber of Mount Everest in the United States, Tausenio Dave Hahn, as we take Luna outdoors and way up a mountain. Luna Outdoors, brought to you by Wanda Quintana Insurance, your good neighbor agent earning your trust for over 24 years. New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, transfer all your high-rate credit card bills to a low-rate Visa Platinum card. And Taos Pharmacy, the total health and wellness center of Taos. Tausenio Dave Hahn, the most successful mountain climber and guide in the world. 10 successful ascensions of Mount Everest, more than any non-Nepalese on the planet. Last week, we chronicled his life at the top of the world's highest mountain. This week, what it takes to get there.
You know, certainly there's a level of physical conditioning that's needed, but it's a tough one for me to define. My fitness doesn't translate to number of push-ups or pull-ups or anything. I'd be embarrassed in any conventional fitness contest like that. But my fitness is built up over years of pushing myself in the mountain. What has made me a success and has kept me alive as a mountain guide and climber is only partly my strength. It's been more my patience and my willingness to sometimes miss out on a summit.
You'll find that the word patience crops up quite often in conversation with Dave Hahn. From his front door in Taos to the peak of Mount Everest is essentially a 2.5-month-long ordeal. Preparation, travel to the base camp, and then the yo-yo begins.
Well, when you're going for a spring expedition on Mount Everest, you're trying to be ready to go for the summit at some point, usually in the second half of May, in late March, early April. It's still winter, and the jet stream is still blowing on the mountain. Might easily have 100-mile-an-hour winds and extremely cold temperatures that you wouldn't be able to climb in. But you can be working lower down on the mountain at that time, working to build up your acclimatization. You need to get used to the altitudes involved.
And there's a good reason for that, like the desire to stay alive.
Base camp on Everest on the Nepal side is 17,500 feet. If we were to go to 17,500 feet tomorrow and try to sleep there, you know, we'd get sick enough to die. And you have to work up to that slowly. So what we do is we take about 10 days to walk into Everest. So we work up to base camp in a series of rotations. We would go up for about a week at a time, and it's pretty tough at first. It feels awful, but by the time you come down to base camp's feeling a little better. You rest and then go up again. The route is being pushed a little farther. Ropes are being attached to the mountain a little higher. Camps are being established. Provisions are being carried up.
And all that takes about a month and a half. Then, and only then, are you ready to try for the summit. And then Mother Nature has to cooperate.
Before the summer monsoon comes in late May or early June, and it starts snowing so much that you can't safely climb in those mountains, usually there's going to be a little break in the weather. The jet stream will pull away, and there might be a little calm before the monsoon comes in, and that's what you're shooting for, trying to be ready for your summit bids in that period. Some years you get that break, and other years you don't.
Tausenio Dave Hahn has had that break and reached the summit of Mount Everest a record 10 times. Will he keep adding to the record?
Yeah, I probably will. And usually I decide after McKinley. McKinley, in my year, is a huge chunk of work and another dangerous and committing mountain. And I think it's kind of important to not take your focus off the mountain that you're on for the next one. But I'll most likely go back to Everest. It still captivates me a lot of ways, and it's, you know, guiding Everest and leading people on Everest is one of the things that I aspire to be the best at.
Well, the numbers say mission accomplished. Part three with Dave Hahn next week, the discovery of the legendary George Mallory's frozen body on Everest.
I never would have dreamed that I would have all these adventures.
That's Luna Outdoors for this week, brought to you by New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, with 13 convenient locations to serve you. And Wanda Quintana Insurance, your good neighbor agent, earning your trust for over 24 years. And Taos Pharmacy, the Total Health and Wellness Center of Taos, is your local disease prevention center, operated by Jake and Becky Mossman. This week, we wrap up our conversation with the most prolific climber of Mount Everest in the United States, Taosano Dave Hahn, as we take Luna outdoors and way up a mountain again. Luna Outdoors, brought to you by Wanda Quintana Insurance, your good neighbor agent, earning your trust for over 24 years. New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, transfer all your high-rate credit card bills to a low-rate Visa Platinum card. And Taos Pharmacy, the Total Health and Wellness Center of Taos. Taosano Dave Hahn, one of the most prolific mountain climbers and guides in the world. 10 successful ascensions of Mount Everest, more than any non-Nepalese on the planet. Last week, we talked about what it takes to get to the top of the world's highest mountain. This week, one of his most famous climbs.
1999, when we discovered George Mallory's body on Mount Everest, you know, where it had lain since 1924, when he died going for the summit. I never would have dreamed that I would have all these adventures.
George Mallory is a legendary figure in Mount Everest history. He could be one of the first to scale the summit of Everest, or someone who died trying in 1924.
You know, it was one of the great mysteries of mountaineering. What had happened to Mallory and his young partner, Andrew Irvin, in 1924? You know, they were last seen going strong for the top, and then they were not seen again. And, you know, they disappeared into the mists. And so it was a celebrated mystery of mountaineering and of Mount Everest. And my first climbs on Everest were on that North Ridge through Tibet. And so I couldn't really be there without thinking of that history.
So Dave Hahn and some climbing partners turned to high elevation detectives.
You know, what would it be like if you went high on Everest and your goal wasn't necessarily the summit, but what if you poked around a little bit and tried to figure out what happened to them? So we developed an expedition with that as the goal in 1999.
And lo and behold, a body on Everest.
We knew it had to be either Andrew Irvin or George Mallory. George Mallory was the far more legendary of the two. For a few reasons, we thought at first Conrad thought he'd found Andrew Irvin, and it wasn't till we actually started examining this man at 27,000 feet that we realized it was George Mallory. We began finding things, including a letter addressed to George Mallory.
At 27,000 feet, after 75 years, Dave Hahn and his partners were starstruck.
We were pretty blown away. He was such a legendary figure to us. You know, the fact that he was dead and dead from a climbing accident and spectacularly well-preserved in the cold there at 27,000 feet, there was nothing grotesque to me or my partners in being with this man who'd had a climbing accident. There was something of a time machine element to it. You know, here was this man who was my age, who was still amazingly preserved, who looked like he'd had an accident the day before in some ways, but who was dressed and equipped in gear from 1924.
So George Mallory's body was found, but the mystery over whether or not he and his partner were the first to scale Everest a full 29 years before Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay continues. Still not enough evidence. Hahn is skeptical, knowing the terrain as well as anyone in the world. In the end, though, Mallory remains an icon in Everest history.
My respect and admiration for Mallory increased dramatically. I'd begun by thinking, well, he was a school teacher from England who climbed on holidays. How good could he have been? In the end, I came away from it, after tracing their steps and seeing the equipment they climbed with, believing that he was far more bold and gifted a climber than I am. I'm still open. And there's still a possibility. We didn't find the camera with George Mallory That would have been the easy proof, we thought, if you found a camera and developed the film and saw a picture of them standing on the summit. Somebody might find that someday. It was a neat mystery, but I think we only enhanced it.
Hope you enjoyed meeting the legendary Dave Hahn in this series. He's up on Mount McKinley as we speak, but he's thinking of you.
It's been a great ride, a great profession, and everything else. The only trouble is it keeps me out of Taos.
That's Luna Outdoors for this week, brought to you by New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, with 13 convenient locations to serve you. Wanda Quintana Insurance, your good neighbor agent, earning your trust for over 24 years. And Taos Pharmacy, the Total Health and Wellness Center of Taos, is your local disease prevention center operated by Jake and Becky Mossman.